This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan along with Jamie Dickerman. We'll also hear a report from Tyler Donaldson as well. Temperatures mostly in the low 30s up and down the Red River Valley early this morning, with cooler teens and 20s as you work your way west across the Dakotas. Western Minnesota is in the low to mid 30s, with Endon Station at Holloway reporting 34 degrees as of 6 a.m. Could see some freezing fog and southerly winds gusting to 25 miles an hour today, possibly causing some slippery roads this morning.
Temperatures will continue to be well above average for the Northern Plains through the end of December, with a few isolated showers expected into the weekend and early next week. Colder temperatures are expected to develop during the first couple of weeks of January as an Arctic air mass is expected to sag into the Northern Plains.
Little moisture is in the forecast in the near term across the Northern Plains until early next week. World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner says warmer, drier weather should see us through the weekend.
We do not expect anything to come into the heart of the Northern Plains or upper Midwest until we get to maybe Sunday night, and more likely on Monday going into Tuesday. And at that time, we'll have a rain and rain changing to snow event. We do expect it to get colder once again as we go forward through the week next week, and that will likely create that opportunity for some snow to accumulate across portions of the region. But we've got several days ahead of us here where we don't have to deal with any such thing.
The grain markets went into the Christmas break range-bound on some light trading. Ever Ag Risk Management Advisor John Barr expecting slow markets to continue through the new year and even up to President-elect Trump's inauguration in January.
We got a lot of unanswered questions heading into the new year with the production report on January 10th, followed by Trump's inauguration on the 20th. So I think everybody's just kind of sitting tight until they get some more answers here. Soybeans were able to hold some lows that they set late last week, and so it's nice to see us rebounding off of those. So just kind of a range-bound trade here as we head into the new year, and don't expect a whole lot of excitement here as we finish out the year.
Bauer trading analyst Ben Cash said South American weather was the focus of the grain markets on Tuesday.
Really not too much to go off of. I mean, weather is one thing that, you know, the market's continuing to focus on here in South America. Looks pretty favorable for Brazil. Now, Argentina had some rains through Cordoba and Buenos Aires there yesterday, or within the last 24 hours. So, you know, that was beneficial, but the extended models here look like it could be drying down and warming up for Argentina. So that's something that the trade's starting to watch as they're pretty much wrapped up on planning and getting into their critical time frame of the month of January and February here for those South American crops.
Cattle markets didn't move much following the hogs and pigs report.
Choppy trade there. We did see fat cattle close higher while the feeders were just slightly lower, anywhere from 30 to 60 lower there. And hogs and pigs report yesterday really didn't give us anything that we already didn't know. Maybe a little bit higher than expected on hog inventories, but market responded quite well, only down about 17. Equity markets were quite firmer today, and that's something that helped out the hog market today.
With a second extension of the Farm Bill through September 30th of next year, the question is, when are we going to see a new one? Senator Kevin Cramer believes that with a new Congress coming in, movement will finally be seen in Washington.
And I think it's also helpful, frankly, to have a majority leader that's from farm country. That John Thune has a pretty strong understanding of the importance of a farm bill, considering he's from South Dakota, whereas Chuck Schumer from New York was more concerned about, the eating half of the farm, of the food value chain than the growing part of it. So I am confident we'll get a farm bill done.
Cramer said the importance of certainty when the ag economy is soft is not always understood among his colleagues on Capitol Hill.
I think a lot of people who eat a lot more food than they've ever seen growing may not understand the capital that it takes to put in a crop every spring and harvest it every fall.
USDA reports that supplies of red meat and poultry in cold storage tightened in November. The frozen red meat stocks dropped 5% compared to last week, with beef down 4%, pork down 6%. Notably, pork belly stocks jumped 39% from the previous month, but still 53% lower than this time last year. Poultry supplies saw a 7% decline. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. corn growers got a boost as Mexican decrees against genetically modified white corn were found to be in violation of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. American Farm Bureau Federation Senior Director of Government Affairs Dave Salmonson says there's two major steps ahead for both the U.S. and Mexico.
One, within 45 days, Mexico needs to come into compliance, which probably means they will withdraw those decrees or at least act going forward like they don't exist. So we'll see what form that takes. The second point is that all three countries are heading into a scheduled review of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Is it really just a review of how the agreement works, or it could potentially be a renegotiation of certain elements?
Country Corner Floral is a large-scale production flower operation based in Crookston, Minnesota, that specializes in a variety of floral types. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
Owner Sarah Clawater says the scale of the family-owned and run business has increased year over year, more than quadrupling in size and production.
I mean, it has grown exponentially overnight, which has been amazing to see. So when we first started, we were big into perennial landscaping. We have 8 acres is our yard, and then we farm on a third of that. But we do, can go out and pick off of our perennial beds as well as needed for certain orders. And it has grown from us learning how to grow perennials to being able to figure out how to grow each crop individually, because we grow over 20 different varieties of flowers, which means that it's 20 different crops. So we have to learn how to fertilize and we grow everything from seed. And so we germinate everything in our basement, and we start that in March.
Part of their expansion has been on the back of USDA-funded programs.
This year we have two high tunnels that we got. Sorry, I'm kind of skipping all over the place. But we got two high tunnels this last year awarded through the NRCS program. And this year, what's exciting is that we can get crops in the ground sooner, which means we can start producing a month on the front end and hopefully extend our season by a month.
With production continuing to expand, Clawater says the next step is broadening their market footprint.
What we're looking at is how can we expand outside of the Crookston, Mentor, Fertile, Eastside. How can we bring awareness to what it takes to flower farm? There's a lot of different factors that we look at. What can we refine and hone in on to be able to continue that education piece, but also the longevity and the quality of the flowers to make sure they're the longest lasting that we possibly can.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
U.S. beef demand continues to grow in overseas markets, surprising even U.S. Meat Export Federation President Dan Holstrom.
Our estimate was that business would probably be down, and we threw out 10% a year ago. And the reality is that business is steady to down 1% on volume, but it's up 5%, second highest ever on value. So in that regard, we totally underestimated what would happen this year in a good way. And I think one of the main themes I tried to convey was that I've been watching this a long time, and beef demand globally is record-breaking in certain countries, but in general, it's just darn solid.
Interest in expanding overseas markets is not slowing down.
The example I give is in past times when we've had droughts and we have the down cycle, the question we always used to get was, well, when's the price going to go down? What we're getting now is not that question so much. The question is, when will we see more heifers retained? When will we see the production cycle increase? In the meantime, what can we do since there's not enough of short plates, for example? So it really turns into a much more constructive discussion with a lot of these buyers who are very well educated around the world. And we're seeing a lot of progress with cuts that maybe weren't such a focus, like rounds, for example. So in that regard, it's a bit of a positive.
Property tax reform expected to be one of the issues addressed in the North Dakota legislative session during this upcoming session. Policy to develop animal agriculture in the state was a hallmark of the last session, but Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Larry Lewick said that work may need to be revisited.
These different dairies for right now, the example is at Abercrombie. I'm getting bombarded with people saying we don't want this thing here because it's too big. And I have to admit, I'm on that train of thought as well.
The proposed Riverview Dairy projects are for a 12,500 cow farm near Wahpeton and a 25,000 cow dairy near Hillsboro. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. When looking in the rearview mirror, Brevant Seed Retail Sales Agronomist Tyler Stastny says disease pressure was a big problem this past growing season. Stastny wants farmers to consider that when making decisions for 2025. Tar spot was one of his bigger challenges.
For in general, when we think about tar spot, you know, you think about the sporulation. You take northern corn leaf blight, for instance, you know, 20-25 days cycle. And we think about tar spot, 11 days. So you think about how fast that particular disease can, you know, come up from the bottom of the canopy up and just really be yield, you know, detrimental.
Identifying the disease is the first job.
When you think about exactly in the name, you know, tar spot, there's this stromata that's on the top, and you can rub your hand across the leaf surface of the leaf, and you'll see like it's definitely raised, and those are the spores. And so when we think about resistance, I feel very confident and proud to be a part of, you know, Corteva and the germplasm. So we have really good resistance and tolerance to tar spot. So when we're thinking about managing for 2025, if you're going into a corn-on-corn, you know, scenario, think about Vore seed and think about, you know, our tar spot ratings.
Federal Appeals Court has reinstated the requirement for filing beneficial ownership reports with the government. The Corporate Transparency Act required farms and businesses that operate corporations or limited liability companies to file this information with the U.S. Treasury Department. A preliminary injunction temporarily ended that requirement, but the court brought it back. As of October, less than 11% of eligible businesses has filed. The new filing deadline is January the 13th.
Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development confirming a second case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in West Michigan this month. The outbreak part of a larger trend with cases now reported in seven other states, including Iowa, Kansas, and Minnesota in the past week. Nationwide, 60 commercial flocks have tested positive for the virus in the last 30 days, impacting over 14 million birds, according to the USDA.
No markets to talk about this morning. We have a hard start at 8:30 with the markets being off yesterday for the Christmas Day holiday. Checking the calendar, we have a lot of things coming up here once we flip the calendar into January. Pretty quiet here through the end of the year here right now. Coming up January 7th through the 10th is the Small Grains Updates meetings. Be in Dilworth, January 7th. That's a noon start there. Halstead, January 8th. That's an 8 a.m. start. Crookston on January 8th, that's a noon start. Lancaster on January the 9th, that's an 8:30 a.m. start on that one. Being Roseau on the 9th on the Thursday with a noon start. And St. Hilaire, 8:30 a.m. on Friday the 10th. That'll be an 8:30 start there as well. The Sustaining the Legacy Seminars, Ag Estate and Succession Planning for South Dakota Producers, January 7th, 14th, and 21st. That'll all be at Watertown. And then they move to Aberdeen in February. Well, that's our farm news this morning. Glad to have you with us. Merry Christmas, everybody, from the Red River Farm Network.